What's going on, everybody? And welcome back to Laying the Points with Farley Betts. I have missed you all very much. It is a new era in Laying the Points for Farley Betts. This is the Stone Cold Steve Austin of Sports Betting Podcast. We say things nobody else will. We tell it like it is. We talk all things sports betting, including the darker sides of our industry, the many mental aspects we all have to battle in the wide world of sports betting and handicapping. We also talk about sports betting processes, theories, because it's all theories, folks. Nobody's figured out how to pick games 100% of the time correctly, right? And of course, we give out free picks on the show, mostly in the NBA and the NFL. But we're starting to handicap college basketball finally this season. We usually wait until this time. Of course, college football is in there, but that season's over. We handicap UFC, handicap WNBA and CFL during the summer as well. All things sports betting here. My name is Chris R. Farley. You can find me at Farley Betts on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. I'm the head of betting at the 33rd team, a contributor at the BetUS NFL and NBA shows. Also over there at the Odds Breakers, and maybe even more affiliations down the road. We'll get to that in the future as this podcast continues. And FarleyBets.com is still coming. It's around the corner. It's going to happen very soon. Free picks on that site and other offerings all the time as well. Thank you so much for tuning in on this inaugural episode of a new era for Laying the Points with Farley Betts. We used the Odds Breakers as our channel, our medium to broadcast our podcast in the past. But like all things, right, you move on, you move upward, and starting my own little business venture here with Laying the Points on FarleyBets.com and with my own podcast. So it's exciting, probably even more in my style, maybe even a little more brash. Who knows? But it's great to be back with all of you. I miss doing this podcast in my own style. You know, most of the time, it'll probably just be me. I like just talking trash on my own as that glass breaks at the beginning, right? I was raised by Stone Cold Steve Austin, like it or not. 90s kid. So I like talking trash, talking sports betting on my own. I like the sound of my own voice. Nah, I really don't. But, you know, it gives me some freedoms and liberties that I might not have if I had a guest every time. But we will have some great guests in the show. We've had great guests before, and I look forward to more of that as we continue churning out episodes of Laying the Points. You can expect at least one episode every week for now, and probably many more in the future as the NFL season thins out and as things become a little more, the workload becomes a little more manageable. I'll say that because we've had a lot going on. I got a baby coming in 2 months. So definitely a lot going on over here. All right, so like I said, I like to talk about theory and philosophies, approaches to sports betting on these podcasts, and then we can get into some picks. I'm going to talk about the NFL wildcard round, give you some thoughts on that, maybe how to look at some things. I'm going to talk about some NFL teams that you might want to fade next season and some NFL teams that you might want to start playing on more and more in these upcoming seasons, as we saw a lot of maturation and a lot of parity in the NFL this year. Some of those teams that we didn't expect to be winning, they were winning. Right, so we'll get to that in a second. For now, let's cover a few other more philosophical topics at first in sports betting. And let's start with this one. So I know this is a real experience for many of you out there, right? Because let's face it, you see it all the time, right? The millions, the billions of dollars that are going back and forth now on online sports books, online apps, DraftKings, FanDuel, PointsBet, Barstool, you name it, right? It's more and more and more. We can all access these things from our phones. We can put our own real money down. And something for all of you to always think about, right, is there's a difference between a steady professional bettor, somebody who's really trying to almost like invest in a portfolio, right, versus somebody who is impulsively and perhaps has a compulsion to bet, right, on a regular basis, right? Like if you wake up and you just want to put down money, you want to bet something right away, like that's what guides your thoughts, there's a much smaller chance that you're going to win that way, right? Or if you're approaching it objectively, let me look at the board today. Let me look at what sports are available. Let me look at what teams are playing, who's playing, who's in, who's out, objectively, right? Because the dirty word in gambling that nobody wants to admit, right, is that we all want to make money. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to win money. It's funny. People don't say that very often on betting podcasts or something, right? They just talk about bets, right? It's kind of like when you're at the bar, right? And there's a bartender and they're feeding everybody at the bar, you know, 5 beers, 10 beers, 15 beers, right? The people at the bar want to get drunk, right? But there's a difference between maybe somebody having a fun time and somebody who's at the bar all the time because they just can't stop getting drunk, right? And when you go on these winning streaks, like when you approach sports betting from a perspective of, I just want to bet today, I just need to bet, like it's a compulsion, that's even worse for your bankroll down the line, because that creates, like if you go on a winning streak, that creates false hubris, right? Like you start to think, man, I'm really good at this, right? But it's not really based on any sound handicapping. It's not based off of any objective approach to sports betting itself. You wanted to bet, you know the sport well enough, and you probably got a little lucky, right? And that's what I mean when I say sports betting is really all about your mental health, because the way you approach the task, the investment, the seriousness of the bet itself is the more likely you are to win if you approach it that way, right? As an objective part of your day, this is my job. I'm going to look at the slate. I'm going to treat it very serious. I don't want to lose money. I don't have to bet everything. It requires temperance, willpower, discipline. All those things are related. And, you know, I like to talk about the psychological side of things. One, because I was very interested in it my whole life. I've studied philosophy and psychology at a graduate level. But then my wife, who I've since married, obviously, she is a psychologist. So there's just a lot of psychology going on in this house, which is a science, by the way. It's a science. Human behavior is a science. Okay, so when people talk about big data and they're churning off all this data and statistics, which I talk shit about data because everybody overly relies on data. Like that's the only reason why I talk shit about it. I don't talk shit about it because I'm one of these guys who doesn't know how to run a spreadsheet, you know, never looks at stats. Like if you don't look at stats in sports betting, you're an idiot. Okay, like you have to pick up on the data and see where the trends are and everything. But there's so much to the sports betting game, and a lot of it is your own psychology, the way you approach it every single day. Are you looking to get back on the slate tonight because you royally fucked up last night, like you lost $1,000 last night, so we better get back at it today, boy? Hey, you know what? I love Villanova tonight. You know why I love Villanova? Because I need to win money, that's why. Right? Like if that's your starting point, I don't know if you're going to go very far. And when we talk about looking beyond data, and this is something that I'm going to say often on this show, I talk about things like, I say intangibles a lot, but the reality is a lot of the aspects of betting and sports that I say are intangibles, they're really not intangibles. They're very tangible, right? It's science. It's behavior. These are observable trends and tendencies. And looking at the sport a different way, right? Like, yes, digest the trends, realize who's the best ATS teams, right? Who's thriving against different matchups. Of course, you have to take that into consideration. We'll talk about that a lot on our podcast. But also observe at a high level. Like when you watch football, if you're going to make this your life where you bet all the time, you're a sports bettor, and there's a huge public base now that are considered sports bettors because they bet on sports on a regular basis, right? So it's not like we can just be like, there's the pros versus the Joes. Well, the Joes are starting to become more pros in the sense that they're doing it on a regular basis, right? Now, there's a big difference between a real professional handicapper and not, which we can talk about another time. But a lot of people are betting. And when you watch the sport, you have to say to yourself, there's a difference, right, between like in a football game, when a player drops a pass, there's a difference between a dropped pass because it's just a drop pass or a drop pass because the team's playing scared, because their opponent already set a tone that has a underlying effect in the entire game, right? Like, that's because of the other team. Like, people tend to watch games and say, my team gave this game away. The team I bet on, they just gave it away. People are just easily blind to the ways that they were beaten sports betting from the onset, right? Last night, right? Suns and Warriors. Steph Curry returns. The Warriors are healthier than ever. Klay Thompson, Wiggins, Draymond, Jordan Poole, Steph Curry at home, where they've been phenomenal at home. Playing against the Phoenix Suns team who didn't have anybody on their lineup. Chris Paul was out. Devin Booker's out. Cameron Payne's out. DeAndre Ayton's out. The Suns were leading by more than 20 points for many. Like, I don't know if it's most of the game, but they were leading by double digits for most of that contest, and they ended up winning by double digits as well, 12 points, I believe, at Golden State. Right? And many people are going to look at that and say, there's no way that should happen. There's absolutely no way. And they're probably right to an extent. But if you go back and watch the film, which I haven't yet, but let's say we do go back and watch the film, are there things that happen at the beginning of that game that are telling of the way that the Phoenix Suns are coached, and maybe that are telling about where the Golden State Warriors are at this point? Right? It's not just simply like, well, the Golden State Warriors should have blew out the Suns. Period. Why didn't they? Were they just punched in the mouth? Were they taking the whole thing less seriously? Golden State, probably a team to watch out for in their next game after that embarrassing performance. But the way a team starts a game, for example, like I always say this about relationships, right? The way that a relationship starts usually sets the tone for the entire relationship, right? Like, thank God I was really attracted to my wife when I first met her, and she tells me the same. So if we have a sloppy week where we're like eating our faces off, we don't look our best, our hair's all over the place for whatever reason, we can still look at the person and go, well, I was really attracted. I mean, I know that I'm really, really attracted to this person, right? Because, you know, we had, of course, the honeymoon period, right, of like a relationship. You know, it's kind of, well, let's not get too detailed here, but it's fun, right? Like, you're enjoying each other, right? You're both very attracted to each other. It's exciting. It's new. You need that at the beginning of a relationship. Well, the way a team starts a game, like how they are in the trenches in football, or how they are muscling players in the paint, like the Heat and the Thunder last night, the Heat almost benched everybody. It was Jimmy Butler. It was Oladipo. It was Max Strus against everybody, right? And then it was like ancillary bench players. And the Heat still won against a healthy Thunder team that's on the up and up. Young players, fast players, energetic players. The Heat still won because they're grown-ass men. Jimmy Butler set the tone in the paint from the very beginning. Steals, blocks, just out-muscling these young guns. Something to take notice if you watched the game. When the Heat are motivated, that's how they play. Right? Or when a quarterback starts missing throws after he's hit. Is the quarterback just missing throws? Like, was Trevor Lawrence just missing throws against the Titans last week? Just had an off day. Or is it because of the pressure that he felt in a very, very big game? I mean, that was the biggest game of Trevor Lawrence's professional career. They got it done last week, but it wasn't really because of Trevor Lawrence. It's because their defense made a big play at the end of that game. Right? Or when a player keeps missing shots because a defender has them off rhythm. Or when a quarterback just can't handle those big moments. Like, I'm a situational bettor, right? So that's why my power ratings don't matter as much to me. Like, I set my power ratings. I have a foundation. I develop them. I have my own subjective considerations and the ways that I measure things. But I'm not married to my power ratings, because any team, any player at any given time, if you're observing them and you're kind of watching the psychology behind it, like what's actually happening, then you're seeing beyond the data, right? You leverage the data. And you look into why this is happening. The Bucks and Cowboys are a great example this weekend. The Bucks are underdogs at home, and they haven't looked good this year. But is anybody trusting the Dallas Cowboys right now? Did you see the way Dak Prescott played against Washington's defense last week? It was horrendous. It was one of the worst offensive performances I've seen from Dak and the Cowboys all season. And maybe that's a reason for them to get up and get motivated this weekend. Or maybe the Dallas Cowboys are showing you that they lack poise. They lack on-field leadership. They lack the ability to thrive in big moments. Something to consider as part of your bets this weekend for sure, and we'll talk more about those games. But these are the types of ways, like this is the approach that I have in sports betting, right? You have to be, in my opinion, you have to be diverse, dynamic, and comprehensive with the way you look at sports. And you will hear many, many personalities on Twitter, on shows. There's guys and girls who just talk about trends. Well, this trend, let me tell you, the past 200 games, this has hit at 61%. And yeah, for me, that's not enough. Or there's guys and girls who will talk about matchup advantages, right? Well, here's the thing. This team has a really weak offensive line. This other team has a really good defensive line. Not good. Not good. Not good, folks. Totally. That's true. That's true. That can't be your only consideration, though. Right? Oh, this quarterback's been unstoppable their past 7 games, and it doesn't matter that they're about to face a top 5 defense in a high-pressure environment, and it's this quarterback's first time in this environment. That doesn't matter. This quarterback has been killing it. It does matter. Right? Like, situations matter. Environments matter. And I would say, arguably, in professional sports, more than ever. Because to ignore the fact that we live in a world where everything comes much easier would be ignoring the fact that these players and teams are all made differently, right? Like, I don't trust Kyler Murray in a big game situation as much as I trust Patrick Mahomes, right? I don't even trust Kevin Durant in a big game situation as much as I trust Steph Curry and the Warriors. Because we've seen it time and time again, right? Some of these players who are absolute superstars, highly skilled, like Kyler Murray probably has more talent in his non-throwing hand than most NFL players have in their entire body. Like his ability to whip that ball out, how fast he is, incredible athletic talent. But can Kyler Murray, who hopefully, you know, God bless him, hopefully he comes back from injury okay, but can Kyler Murray become that guy who owns his own mental game, who's really prepared, who you don't want to face on the field in the middle of the playoffs because you know he's going to figure shit out that the defense has no idea, right? Like the defense has no idea that he already knows what's happening. Is he going to become that guy? Like that's a layer to it that you see on the field from certain quarterbacks, certain players in the NBA. Like you just see that they thrive in those moments, right? Like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander last night against the Heat. Great player, great offensive scorer. I don't think he's an alpha, though. Jimmy Butler is an alpha. Right? Like Jimmy Butler set the damn tone in that game. And him and Oladipo almost single-handedly won that game for the Heat. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he's not there yet. He's also really young. Right? We can't expect a lot of these guys to be there yet. I mean, they're coming fresh out of college, where college is more fun than ever. Woo-hoo! Party time, baby! They're worshipped because they're superstar athletes. And then they go into the pros and they have a ton of money, and you're expecting them to be responsible, accountable, disciplined, stretching their mental game so that they're showing maximum poise in big game situations. Really? That's what you're expecting? There's a difference there, folks. So we have to look at the data. We have to look at the situation. We have to look at the matchup. We also have to look beyond all of those things. And if you're not willing to commit yourself to those things as a handicapper and a sports bettor, then you're just not going to win as much as other people are, right? As those guys and girls who can commit themselves to that, watching film, seeing beyond what these teams are offering. And don't get me wrong, though. Some of these modelers out there, like I know a guy, a friend of a friend who developed the model, got a high rank in Circa this year. And these models are getting better and better, right? So I talk shit about models too, because I think it's inherently flawed, right? Like that can give you a lot of overconfidence. It'll give you a lot of hubris in the ways you think about betting sports, right? If your model churns out a very sure thing. There's a lot of aspects to human psychology and behavior that are not being accounted for there, but they are getting better. I mean, we got guys at the 33rd team who are turning out these spreadsheets like what's not covered in these spreadsheets, right? Like air yards against this kind of matchup with the efficiency and grass. Like what? How are you even quantifying? So, you know, you got to leverage those things, but you got to look deeper too. You'll hear me talk about a lot of that on this show. I'll get into the details of these, you know, players, what motivates them, the psychology behind it, the coaches, leadership, certain teams handling things better than others. I mean, it's why I bet on the Rams and Titans last week, right? Like those games meant something to them, even though they couldn't get into the playoffs. I mean, the Titans could, but let's face it, most people didn't give them a chance and they almost won that game. So with that, that's a pretty good segue. Let's get into some NFL wild card rounds, shall we? All right. So the wild card round. I'm going to breeze over this because I'm on quite a few shows this week where I'm going to talk more in depth about these games, including the BetUS NFL show. We're having a betting show and fantasy show at the 33rd team on Thursday, which you can check out probably live on Twitter via either Josh Larkey's Twitter or the 33rd team's Twitter. And I'm sure it'll be up on the site as well. So we're going to get in depth about a lot of these games. But let me just breeze over these games for more of a, you know, Farley bet style here. Maybe might not be able to do it as much on those shows. Seahawks and 49ers. 49ers are 9.5-point favorites. I'll put it this way. The 49ers have given you zero reason to believe that they're not going to squash the Seattle Seahawks. They dominated them in two straight performances. They've won 10 games in a row. Even when their defense hasn't been quite as crisp, which is pretty rare, Brock Purdy and their multi-tiered, multi-talented, I mean, in the sense of diversity, right? Like tight end, running back, wide receiver, offensive line. Is there an offense more talented than San Francisco? Pretty good situation for Brock Purdy. San Francisco is humming. It's hard for me to get around to liking the Seattle Seahawks. Now, Seattle has stepped up and played really hard in two straight games against the Jets, and they figured it out against the Rams again. Good for them. I mean, Baker threw a really bad interception, and the Rams were right in that game. Could have gone the other way, in my opinion. But San Francisco so far, I don't think we can say, oh, they're due to regress. They're due to trip. I don't know, guys. This is a really, really, really talented team. They're well coached, and they seem very cohesive. Talk about intangibles. Those are the things you need in the NFC playoffs. Chargers and Jaguars. I said this on Twitter, and I'm just going to say that I'm just going to leave you with this. I think the Jaguars make a great teaser leg, but I would be very cautious on confidently overbetting on the Jaguars this weekend. Trevor Lawrence did not have a good game against the Titans last week. Maybe his stats look okay, but if you watch that game, he missed a lot of throws. He looked like a deer in headlights quite a few times. He looked concerned that he wasn't going to be able to get the job done. And he should be. It's his first time in that situation. Like, it's so rare for any quarterback or on-field leader, like in a big position, to just go out there and march right down the field and lead their team game in and game out to the Super Bowl, right? Joe Burrow did that last year in his first big spot in the playoffs. Joe Burrow is different. Like, if you don't know that about his mentality by now, I can't help you. Because it ain't just about his arm. It ain't just about his wide receiver talent. That dude is not afraid. And probably some of that comes from his background. I think, from what we're told, he did not have an easy background. He did not have an easy childhood. Nothing came easy for him, which I can relate to, right? Because Joe and I are really handsome guys. Just kidding. I'm not kidding. And I think some people fucking assume that things came easy for me. I ate spaghetti 3 times a week. Like I grew up basically poor. I went into the military at 18. I made everything on my own. That's kind of how Joe Burrow is. So he doesn't give a fuck. I love it. That's not Trevor Lawrence just yet. He's a nice kid, says all the right things. I think he's going to get there. But at least you're facing a Chargers team. Now, the Chargers have more experience. Justin Herbert has been around on, you know, more formidable operational teams for a little while. That Urban Meyer year with the Jaguars last year was really rough, probably for Trevor Lawrence. So I think the Chargers might win this game. I mean, their roster is crazy talented. It's going to come down to, can the Chargers finally stop the run? 5.3 yards per carry allowed this season. I mean, you let Travis Etienne get going, and then it takes pressure off of Trevor Lawrence. That's going to be tough. But teasing up Jacksonville from +2 to +8 right now with another teaser leg that I'm going to mention later, probably a really good bet. Probably a really good bet. Let's go Dolphins and Bills. Bills are sort of like the San Francisco 49ers. Now, not only are the Bills poised, they've been the favorite almost all year to win the Super Bowl. They're actually not right now. The Chiefs are. But with the extra motivation that they have now after what happened to DeMar Hamlin, and now the Dolphins are probably going to roll out Skylar Thompson. I mean, that's why this line is up to 13 right now. Even if it's Teddy Bridgewater who's playing with a weird finger. Nah, like this ain't. I don't think the Dolphins have a shot. I really don't. You know, the Bills are poised. And because DeMar is okay, I think they can get to a place where they're using that as pure, unadulterated fuel. Wouldn't step in front of the Bills this weekend. The Giants could beat the Vikings, and I'm a Giants fan. And when I say that, I'm saying I'm not. This is not a homer pick because I'm very, very critical of my Giants. Like, I'm not one of these guys on Twitter who, like, you know, I say things about Dak Prescott on Twitter, and these Cowboy fans would be like, how dare you say that about Dak Prescott? He's pretty good. Like, I dog Daniel Jones all the time. He should be dogged. Like, he's not very good. He's a good kid. He's a good runner. Throws a good easy ball if it's an easy pass. But, like, Daniel Jones isn't, like, willing throws into wide receivers' arms in a very small windows and propelling his team to like the next level. Like, Daniel Jones isn't doing that. Brian Daboll's doing that. The chemistry of their team right now is doing that, but it ain't really Daniel Jones, and it sure as hell ain't Dak Prescott. But I do think that the Giants should be considered live dogs in this game. They played Minnesota really close a few weeks ago. Only a 3-point loss, 61-yard field goal sealed that loss for the Giants, win for the Vikings. But it was a close game, and Giants got more total yards than the Vikings in that game. They kind of outplayed them. Played really hard on defense, too. Nothing came easily for the Vikings in that game. Now, the Vikings obviously have more superstars on offense. Justin Jefferson is as legitimate as it gets as a superstar wide receiver. But I'm leaning towards the Giants so far in this one, folks. Lean towards the over two, but 48.5 is probably right. I mean, it's still a playoff game. Ravens at Bengals. I would tease the Jags and the Bengals. Tease the Bengals to win, just -1. Tease the Bengals or the Jaguars up to +8. I mean, reports are coming out now that Lamar Jackson and his knee, it's not looking good. He's probably not going to play. And I'm sorry, but Tyler Huntley is a pretty good backup, actually. I like Tyler Huntley. He's not beating Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals in Cincinnati. It ain't happening. Bengals have won 8 straight games. They're scoring over 28 points per game. Their defense is lights out when they need to be. They have the lowest pass completion percentage allowed to opposing quarterbacks. And now you got Tyler Huntley in a big spot going to Cincinnati. Nah, don't see it happening. I would tease Cincinnati and the Jaguars. And you can also moneyline parlay the 49ers, Bengals, and Bills, and you'll pretty much break even. Like, you'll come real close to breaking. Like, so in other words, you know, you parlay all three of those guys, $100, you're going to get around $100 right now if you do that. That being said, the Bills money line just went way up, so maybe it's a little less now. I mean, it's -750 on DraftKings. Let's talk Cowboys and Buccaneers. This is a really interesting one. I'm glad it's the Monday night game because I think it'll be good fodder for Eli and Peyton to joke around about, but also be really intensely watching. Just don't be surprised if Tampa Bay wins this game by 20 points, folks. Like the Cowboys could for sure win this game by 20 points. They have the talent to do it. And the Bucs haven't shown much this year. They still don't have a run game. Like we're entering the postseason and they still don't have a run game. In my opinion, the worst rushing offense in the league, because even when they've had a good game or two, it just hasn't been consistent at all. And the Cowboys have a good defense. I mean, you haven't heard a lot from Micah Parsons or Trayvon Diggs recently, but they have a good defense. So, you know, the Cowboys could certainly win this game, but this line now coming down a little bit in favor of the Bucs, I agree with that movement. And Tom Brady and the GOAT, they should be considered live dogs, especially at home. And don't be surprised if Tampa Bay and the Bucs end up in the NFC Championship game. Don't be surprised. Now, if they have to face San Francisco next week, night-night termite, in my opinion, of course, if they win this game. But it's still Tom Brady, and there's still a lot of parts to that Super Bowl team that are there. I know people are like, well, without Gronk, what are you going to do? I get it. Something tells me Brady's going to figure some things out. Maybe show the whole world that he's still got some ingenuity and probably is still seeing things on the field that nobody else is seeing. All right, really quickly, let's get into some teams to watch out for next season in the NFL and teams that could regress. I'll be talking more NBA on upcoming shows, especially as the NFL season winds down. Like I said, we'll have guests and everything. I'm looking forward to this new era of Laying the Points. You can catch me at Farley Betts across all social media. So teams that could regress, in my opinion, there's not a lot for the Colts to work with right now. Their offensive line gave them a lot of problems this year. Their defense was good, but banged up, kind of gave up on the team at the end of the year. I don't feel great about the Colts. I mean, this is a team that a lot of people said entering this season was going to be like really like a top contender, right? Like Matt Ryan. Yeah, right. I mean, that was fake news from the beginning. Cowboys, I think, could really regress. If they don't get it done this year, like if they don't go far into the playoffs at least this year and be really competitive, we're just seeing the same thing over and over and over, right? Like how many more times can we see this? Because we all have to kind of see it, right? Because the Cowboys are always propped up on national TV. They're all over the media because it's the Dallas Cowboys. It's the most valuable sports franchise in the world, blah, blah. We get it. Can't keep on seeing the same things from them. The Rams are in big trouble because they spend a ton of money to win a Super Bowl. That worked, so good for them. But now Sean McVay is very lukewarm about his motivation to continue being a coach. Don't love the Rams moving forward. Don't love the Cardinals moving forward. Maybe Kyler Murray doesn't want to be there anymore. The team just also doesn't have any depth, like across the whole roster. They just don't have depth. Washington Commanders, they might lose Ron Rivera. Wait, did they lose Ron Rivera? Did I miss that? I'm going to look that up live in the show because that would be bad if I missed that. No. Okay. So they didn't know. I figured something didn't happen yet, or else I would have heard about it. But I wouldn't be surprised if Ron Rivera was fired at the end of the season after some of the decisions he made at quarterback. But Commanders are in flux. I mean, I don't know how invested Ron Rivera is. It's tough over there. It's tough. They have a lot of talent, but year in and year out, they're just not amounting to much. So kind of the same story as the Cowboys. Like, figure something out, Commanders. And don't play Carson Wentz anymore, for Christ's sake. Tampa Bay Bucks. Tom Brady's probably not going to be there anymore. And then that organization is going to have to maybe do a complete look at themselves and, you know, take a deep, hard look at who the Tampa Bay Bucks are and who they're going to be moving forward. You know, I know some contracts are coming up for them, a lot to figure out. The Seattle Seahawks, too, a team that surprised a lot of us this season. Geno Smith played fantastic quarterback. I mean, he played really well for the Seahawks, highest completion percentage most of the season. I feel really good for Geno. Don't know if I feel as good for the Seahawks, though. I mean, they're a young team. They're growing. But now teams are going to take them more seriously next year, right? They're not going to just treat them as like, the Seahawks are going to suck this year. Like, that's kind of what everybody thought. And then week after week after week, they proved people wrong. until halfway through the season, teams started to adjust. I don't expect the Seahawks to get to the playoffs next year. Teams to watch out for next season, the New York Jets. They have a defense. To me, they're a top three defense in the NFL. They proved it week after week. Now, the final 2 weeks, they kind of gave up. That's probably just more of an experience thing, like young players in big spots. But they'll get there. I love their defense. They obviously need a quarterback. It's a big thing. But if they get somebody in there who can at least be more consistent, watch out for the New York Jets. They have a lot of talent on offense, too. Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall, as long as he comes back. Offensive line is better. The Pittsburgh Steelers, they are not going away, and I kind of love it. Like, I love a villain, and people love to hate the Steelers. But Kenny Pickett got some moxie, folks. He's kind of got some Joe Burrow moxie to him. He can throw some zips in there, man. He certainly did that in his last two games. He proved that he can carry his team. Offensive line came together more, and obviously their defense is very formidable. As long as you got T.J. Watt in there, everybody just plays better. I think the Steelers are going to have another winning season next year. The Miami Dolphins and Mike McDaniel, who have been through so much this season. I can't believe that there is rumors about Mike McDaniel being fired. Get out of here with that shit. He should not be fired. He's an innovative coach. He's obviously somebody who the players respond to. If they get some consistency and can avoid injury next year, watch out for the Dolphins. The Denver Broncos, what am I saying here? I get it. Russell Wilson looked terrible for long stretches of this season. He might be done, but let me say this. I think that the Broncos are going to hire Jim Harbaugh, from Michigan. And if they do, I think he's a perfect fit for Russ because Russ needs to be a disciple, right? Go Hawks. Let's ride. Broncos country, let's ride. Like, Russ needs to be a disciple, and he needs a big personality, a coach, to follow. That's Jim Harbaugh. You know, like, Russ kind of has that mentality of a college player. It's like, oh, yeah, put me in, coach. Right? I don't think Hackett was hacking it. But Jim Harbaugh, he will. He'll bring it. So I like that for the Broncos. They have a top-notch defense. They can turn some things around still. They had a lot of injury this year, Javonte Williams. They'll be back. And I think teams will take them less seriously now. So we'll see. Carolina Panthers fought really hard to end the season. Really impressed by their run game and what they were able to figure out there. Easy for me to say. Defense played really hard as well. Had some really big performances and really tough spots. Look out for the Panthers. The Browns and Deshaun Watson. Folks, doesn't matter what you think about Deshaun Watson. He's playing football. And he's going to get better on the Cleveland Browns. And they are still an ultra-talented team. Still arguably the best running back in the NFL. Still a great offensive line. Still monsters on their defensive line. Still talent in their secondary. And if Deshaun Watson can take his game back to what it used to be, watch out. And finally, maybe most predictably, the Detroit Lions. How do you not love the Lions? I mean, did you not want to see the Lions go into the playoffs after seeing the way they played on Sunday Night Football against the Packers? What an effort by the Lions on both sides of the ball to end their season. Jared Goff is playing. He's playing with some attitude, which I like. Their offensive line is probably the best in the NFL right now, right there next to the Eagles. Lions are a team that is going to grow and get better, folks. I believe that. And it was great that they were on, Hard Knocks. We were all kind of cheering for them. They're an easy team to cheer for. How do you not like the Lions moving forward? I think they're going to be a force. And they believe in themselves too, which we know in psychology, guys, that's a big thing, right? Like, there's this thing going around TikTok right now. Every day, just say to yourself, God, am I lucky? Man, I get so lucky. Like, I have the best luck. Like, good things just happen to me. Like, if you say that to yourself over and over every day, watch. Good things will happen. And that's what's happening for the Lions right now. Now they really believe because they've really done quite a few things this year. They have a winning record. They were right there on the brink of the playoffs. Watch out for those Detroit, Dan Campbell-led Detroit Lions next season. With that, I've talked long enough. I'm talking shit long enough here. It is great to be back on Laying the Points. I've missed all of you. Look forward to more episodes as we get through these NFL playoffs, get more into the NBA too. I'll always have free picks on here. Hope you enjoyed some of my leans in the wild card round. and you can check me out in more details on the shows that I'll be on this week. Until next time, Farley Betts out of here. Let's win some damn money.